Well, someone who has good memories of the film, in fact, he saw it just a few days ago, is Igor Rosenberg, who is a member of the Space Association of Australia. Welcome to the Space Show, Igor.
Thank you, Andrew, for inviting me. I hope we have more cheerful excuse than our previous meetings.
And you saw the movie just a few days ago.
It's not first time, but first time I saw it on the big screen, and I wish I would be able to see it on IMAX anytime sooner.
Right. Now, you've got to tell about how it was first shown in the Soviet Union.
The movie was shown on Moscow International Film Festival in July 1969. This was the time of moon landing, so you can imagine how cheerful and optimistic were crowds about future of the space exploration. My father was at the time in the Moscow, and I believe he never talked about him with him if he ever saw this movie at the time in Moscow. But at least I grew up with the posters from the festival, and one of the posters was image of U.S. astronaut from 2001. First time I saw this movie in full, it was in Australia in 1993. Never have been shown in USSR by some censorship reasons for full public release.
So the general public may have known about it, but they certainly never got a chance to see it.
The only chance probably was VHS in beginning of 80, but again, you have to be a space nut like me to watch something like this instead of the most recent releases.
Okay. And what was the reaction to the movie, given that the Russians weren't quite portrayed as, or the Soviets weren't quite portrayed as the enemy, but they certainly, there was a distrust shown between the Russian participants and the American participants.
I believe the movie actually paved, it was used as a good PR vehicle to pave a way to Apollo Soyuz test program. I believe Kubrick did a great job to sell idea to American public, because I'm sorry for spoilers, but there are only one scene when Russians communicate with the Dr. Floyd on the floor in the lobby of Hilton Hotel on I believe it was International Space Station. It's called Space Station 5 with artificial gravity. At least Kubrick predicted ISS probably quite ahead of his time. Depiction of the Russian, again, it's a little bit funny. Movie was not targeted for Russian-speaking audience. It's amazing how four Russian scientists easily talk in Queen English, but when they start to talk in Russian, you can hear quite heavy English accent. And Kubrick did absolutely thorough job in doing decoration, hardware, try to predict how people would operate in the future. Unfortunately, he did not have a good Russian consultant. He did quite lousy job when it came to Russian language.
Okay. Now, what about some of the other Russian connections in the movie?
Well, when Dr. Floyd actually entering premises of Hilton Hotel, it seems to be that Russian part of the station still under construction, because we can see seven Russian people who just loitering around and having a good time in seems to be like American sector. There were four Russian scientists who returned after installation of astronomical radar on the far side of the moon. They claim that there is we know from this conversation there is at least one Russian base. I suspect it was more than one, but only one has been mentioned, with very unusual and not typical Russian name, Chulenko. The name of the scientist, it's actually puzzling by itself. Dr. Andrew Smyslov probably was named after world champion in chess. Dr. Yelena without surname. Dr. Kalinina without female suffix and surname. And youngest one, Dr. Sretnyova. And the way how actually he put him in different clothes on female, it's quite amazing because he catches that people in not young female usually would wear something classic brown or black kind of dresses. There is also another shot which probably you would miss it. There is an Aeroflot crew sitting next to the Russian scientist, and there are some interesting shots which actually did not make to the movie. Probably they were in director cut. There are a couple of scenes when you can see big black Aeroflot bags. Aeroflot wasn't the only one state-owned aviation company in Russia. So Kubrick actually did much better public relations for international flight from and to Moscow, probably than Aeroflot himself. talking about Russian connections, in the movie, we heard that because of Claudia's base, Claudia's base was announced out of the reach due to alleged virus epidemic. One of the Russian moon rocket buses supposed to do emergency landing, and it was denied access. But from whole story, we can detect that Russian developed a quite powerful moon rocket buses, which has an abort capability to lunar orbit, because distance between far side of the moon, Tsiolkovsky crater, where Chulenka base supposedly was, and U.S. Claudius base, which was on visible side of the moon because you can see Earth on background. So Russian moon rocket bus was probably capable spacecraft which was able at least to make at least one circle around the moon. Talking about spacecrafts, Russians probably develop also some kind of Discovery class vehicle, which you saw in the movie later on, after moon episodes shot on the moon, around the moon. In 2010, two American astronauts flying on the Soviet spacecraft, which called cosmonaut Alexei Leonov.
Yes, that's the film 2010 Odyssey 2.
Sequel. By the way, Clark wrote another three sequel book. 2001, not only book. So it's a classic case when a movie has a prequel and three sequel, at least in literature. So I suspect in 2001 in this universe, Soviet at least developed some solar-capable spacecraft, which potentially would call cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin and cosmonaut German Titov. We can talk indefinitely, but I believe Andrew has other questions for me.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk about those later, Igor. This is The Space Show, and our topic today is 2001, A Space Odyssey, or 2001, as Arthur Clarke insisted on saying it.
Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
You're listening to The Space Show. Our topic is 2001, A Space Odyssey. Suspecting that their computer hell is faulty, Dave Bowman and Frank Poole hide out of earshot of hell and decide what to do about the situation. The scene was, to me, the scariest moment in the movie. You'll need to see the movie to understand why. Now, Igor, what were some of the scary moments for you in the movie?
Obviously, beginning, because I thought it was science fiction movie, and we're talking, and the first 15 minutes, it's African landscape and apes. So probably it wasn't scariest, but it was very confusing part, because I was expecting a space show in the movie, and what I got, something like from Animal Planet.
yes, that was a bit of a surprise at the beginning. Okay, well, to me, this pod scene was the most scary for me.
Yeah, I'm sure we're okay. Well, what do you think?
I'm not sure. What do you think?
I've got a bad feeling about him.
You do?
Yeah, definitely. Don't you?
I don't know, I think so. You know, of course, though, he's right about the 9000 series having a perfect operational record. They do.
Unfortunately, that sounds a little like famous last words.
Al? 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 Al?
When I first saw 2001, I thought one scene was quite unbelievable. This is where Dave Bowman has to survive in the vacuum of space without a spacesuit. Igor, what did you think of that scene?
I believe the moment when he blows the hatch of the spacecraft and flew back to the station was the most scariest. Unfortunately, I found, by watching again and again, I started to look and found some bloopers or black holes in the script. Hal has no problem to control pull spacecraft, which actually managed to cut down his oxygen supply. But Bowman spacecraft seems to be was outside of control of Hal. How it's supposed to happen, I don't know. But this was a part of the plot.
Yes, well, you can always nitpick in every movie, and I say I didn't think that scene was believable. However, Keir D'Elia explains why I was wrong.
I'll anticipate the moment coming up when I finally force myself into the ship through the emergency hatch, and I'm able to do that by pressing the pod against that hatch, and there are some explosive bolts in the rear door that will, in a sense, explode me into the ship, and you see me being sucked into the vacuum of space, or because of course it's a airlock, so there is the pressure will only be equalized once that airlock door is closed, which I grab a handle and do. But for a moment, I am in a vacuum, and this was researched, and the scientists told Stanley that yes, a human being, if he held his breath in a certain way, could last X amount of seconds in an airlock. Before and survive it, as long as it wasn't more than 15 seconds or whatever, however long it is.